one does not often have the opportunity to use the phrase "the world's foremost expert" when conducting an interview with someone. But in this case, the phrase applies. Richard Benson is, without a doubt, the world's foremost expert on the history of printing, on printing technologies and alternatives, and he's proven this with a lifetime of work both teaching at Yale University and also through the work that he's done to create so many different printed projects. He conducted a series of lectures on the history of the printed image in association with the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and was persuaded to produce that series of lectures as a book, which is now available, called The Printed Picture. It is a wide-ranging book that looks at the history of the printed image and examines, well, perhaps not every single technology, methodology, etc. for making printed images in the history of mankind, but pretty darn close. He examines each one from an overview point of view, explaining its place in the history of the printed image and its strengths and virtues, including, interestingly enough, photography. Benson considers the camera and the photograph as merely extension of the history of the printed image, a step along the way from the lithograph off the stone to now the computer-generated inkjet image or some other high-tech device. And this wide-ranging, long-term historical perspective gives him a view of photography that is most interesting to those of us who are passionate about this particular kind of image making. I began our interview by asking him about this interesting perspective that places photography within the context of all other forms of the printed picture. Well, first, your book contains a very interesting premise that will, I think, somewhat sound a bit heretical to the dedicated fine art photographer.
I kind of should hope so.
Yeah, right. Photographers tend to think of photography as being something completely different than printing, but you tend to see the photograph as, maybe I should say merely, although that may be a loaded word, merely another technological step sort of along the evolving path of the printed picture. You don't see photography as independent.
Yeah, I think that's right. It seems to me that the making of printed pictures has a tremendously long history, and it's gone through hand processes. Then photography came along, and photography adapted itself to it. And then it went on and became mechanical with all the printing presses, and now digital with the computer. And it seems to me that that's one long, continuous stream of development of this thing called the printed picture. And I think photography is simply one section in the middle. Now, I think photography is a revolutionary thing in other respects. I mean, the real thing about photography that's so incredible is it's a mechanism for gathering visual data mechanically without the hand being required. And that's of tremendous importance whether it has to do with printing or not. In other words, this thing about the mechanically gathered image that the lens projects and the chemistry retains is an extraordinary historical step. But as far as printing goes, I think it's just one piece of the long evolutionary path of printing. And I think it's a crucial, vital one. Now, I think something even more radical than that. I think that photography was invented because the printing presses and the printing processes became so good that the hand could no longer supply the information. In other words, the ability of the presses and the technologies of printing was so extraordinary in their ability to convey data that the hand couldn't keep up with it. And so I think photography was invented as a means of gathering the data that was to be printed on the presses of the world. Now, that's really a cuckoo idea.
Well, yeah, I've never heard that idea, but it certainly does make sense on first blush.
Yeah, well, nobody agrees with me, as far as I can tell. But that's what I think. Because if you look at the late 18th and early 19th century printing, aquatint existed and mezzotint and extraordinary stipple engraving, and it was getting to the point where the hand just couldn't do it anymore. The hand was working at such a fine level, and here all of a sudden boom, the lens comes in and records information or gathers information that is chemically recorded, and the press is dying for that. And it's the next step of the disseminating of visual information by ink on paper.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a coincidence, perhaps, that photography and lithography are only separated in their invention by, what, a scant 40 years?
Sure, yeah, that's about all. That's exactly right. I think it's important to look as clearly as we can at what actually took place, and I've always been struck by this thing about ink printing and photography. When you think about it, there were three main branches of ink printing in 1840. There was the relief print, which was letterpress and type. There was the intaglio print, which was the engraving and the etching. And there was the lithographic print, which was off stone, the chemical print. And all three of those systems adapted themselves to the photographic image within about 25 years. And it's really astonishing that that happened. It's amazing that it happened.
Well, and that's one of the things that your book points out so readily is by laying it out in a timeline and showing all these various processes. It's easy to see how one leads us to the next one, and it almost looks in retrospect as though some of these things were inevitable.
Well, I hope that's the way it looks. If the book comes across that way, then it did a good job, and I'm pleased.
Well, another part of that sequence of events, though, that I thought was very interesting is that it appears as though you don't necessarily value the hand process higher than the chemical mechanical process. You just see them as a continuous.
No, I don't at all. I'm actually sort of anti old craft. I have a brother who's a craftsman, who's a stone carver and a sculptor and a calligrapher, and he thinks the world has been steadily getting worse. I think the world's been steadily getting better. And so I welcome photography in the face of all the hand processes, and I welcome the digital in the face of all the chemical processes. So I think everything has been getting steadily better. I have no compunctions about it at all. And I think the idea that picture making went away from the hand is just great. No problem to me.
Yeah. Well, how important do you think it is for the photographer to understand the history of printmaking?
Well, this is a difficult question. First of all, I think most photographers would like to believe that the thing that matters is the image that they capture with the camera, the thing they do pressing the button. And we actually now are living in a time when most of the serious photographers working today even go so far as to have somebody else print their work, which I think is scandalous. And so I think in the field in general, I don't think photographers care that much about the printing. I think their attitude toward it is we can get some professional to print the pictures and they can make the pictures better than I can make them. And so that's where we should put printing. What I do is I do this magical thing of gathering the image. And of course, I think that's just stupid. I think photography is art, and I think a piece of art resides in the physical object made. And I think it's appalling to think that somebody else can be in charge of that whole end of it, which is physically presenting it on a piece of paper. This is not a popular idea, and it's a kind of difficult idea in a funny way. Historically, it seems to me that artists have been the best craftsmen, and artists have been the best technically at what they do. And I think it's a great mistake for photographers to think that there's some pro in a lab who's better than they are at the printing. So I get on my high horse about this. I think it's also completely degenerate that ateliers print editions of lithographs and etchings for artists. I think it's scandalous. And I intimate that a little bit in the book. I don't say it too strongly, but I intimate it a bit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too much of a tirade for you?
No. I think very interesting. It's going to lead into a question I want to get into in a little bit. But back to this history of the printmaking, one of the things that I notice with the photographers that we publish in Lenswork, being, of course, primarily a fine art photography publication, is that they absolutely insist to a large degree that they do the printing, but at the same time, they don't always understand the history of printmaking because they tend to isolate photography as something different from the rest of printmaking.
Of course, I agree. I think that's true. I think any photographer, any printmaker should know as much as they can about the field. But hang on, let me go back for a second. You say the people you publish insist on them doing the printing themselves. And that's probably true, but that's maybe not necessarily what happens at large in the art world today.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to galleries that show photography, and the photographic prints are big color prints, they're almost always digitally made in a lab and not made by the photographer. Now, there are photographers who follow the tradition of Edward Weston and work themselves in the darkroom like Nick Nixon and make great prints, and that's wonderful, and they do just the right thing. And Lee Friedlander, who never would let anybody else print one of his pictures, he does it all himself in the darkroom. But in photography in color, which is a very big deal today, there's an awful lot of cases where the work is printed by somebody else. And I just think it's a travesty. And I don't make myself popular by saying this, because I'll have photographers say to me, why should I have to know about that? I have to know about the subject and the frame and all of this. You know, why should I have to know about that? Well, God damn it, you have to know about that because you're making a piece of art that you're holding in your hand. And Let's not have it made by committee. Let's have it made by one sensibility working at a very high pitch.
Well, and the process of doing it might influence their artwork, too.
Of course, the way you make the print has a tremendous impact on what the thing means. Of course, a tremendous impact. I don't make myself popular by saying this, but I believe it enough that I'll say it in an interview. How's that?
Well, then let me ask you your thoughts about what is a very, very tricky concept, and that is the whole idea of original artwork in this age of digital reproduction. Now, I have a little background for this I need to explain. Here at Lenswork, in 1998, we developed a method to use image setters to make 425 line screen negatives from scans of photographers' prints for taking back in the darkroom and printing in traditional gelatin silver materials in a wet darkroom. And we offered those as reproduction prints of photographers' work, and we felt comfortable in doing so, even though they were absolutely visually identical to the original prints. We had the technique down perfectly. The trick was, though, they were 425 line screen negative, so with a sufficient enlargement, you could see the dot pattern. Now we're doing something differently. Now that technology is gone. We're doing something we call Lenswork Folios, which are Epson inkjet prints of photographers' work. The problem here, however, is that a lot of the photographers are also using Epson printers to make their quote-unquote original artwork, so there is no differentiation between what we produce as reproduction prints and what they produce as original artwork.
Well, all right, hang on for a second now. If they send you their file and you print it on an inkjet printer, then I can accept that it can look like the inkjet print that they make from their file.
That's exactly what we do.
Okay, but if they send you a print and you scan the print and print an inkjet printer, you're never going to get it to look the same.
Exactly.
In other words, they send you the file and you print it. Well, I think that the question of what's an original and what isn't original is a moot point and who cares. I think the original is the thing the photographer signs. And I think if a photographer, who I consider as an artist, makes a piece of work or has somebody else make a piece of work and that person signs it, then that's that person's piece of work. And that's a piece of original work. Now, that doesn't mean I necessarily respect it if they get somebody else to print it.
Mm-hmm.
But the artist makes the decision about what's considered a piece of original work. And I could care less. They can do anything they want in the pattern of work that leads them to the thing they consider an original. Now, if they make a print and it looks in such a way, and then they give you the file and you make a print and it looks in such a way, as far as I'm concerned, they're the same thing. If the photographer chooses to sign them both, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has to do with what the thing is, and then I think it has to do with the choice of the artist. What does the artist think the thing is?
Right, exactly. That's why I'm comfortable in saying, to some degree anyway, the original, in a convoluted way, is the Photoshop file.
Well, the Photoshop file is a step on the path to the final object.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can call it the original. I don't care. You could say the camera file is the original. You could say the negative is the original. I'm interested in the print that comes out at the end. Or I'm interested in the thing we see on the monitor if it's something somebody puts on their website as their original work. So I don't think there's a blanket rule for this.
Yeah.
I think the rule is what the artist considers to be the artist's work. And I think he or she says, this is it. And the way I do it is to sign it.
Right.
If I think it's the real thing, I sign it. I don't care how it's made. Now, this is a very different thing than me talking about what I think is intrinsically the richest way for an artist to work, which is doing their own work completely themselves. This is a different issue. But I think a person puts their signature on a thing, and that determines what it is. Now your image setter prints that are screened, made from scans of a print, that's a complicated issue because I'd have to look at them side by side before I'm going to agree that they look the same. You know, everybody mm-hmm. always tells me they can make a thing that looks exactly like something else. I've never known anybody to be able to do that in any way.
Mm-hmm.
They always look different.
Well,
however, if I have two Epson 4880 printers in the same file and the same profile on the same paper, I'm going to get two things that are functionally identical.
Right.
So,
right.
I have yet to see a copy that is identical, and I've spent a lot of my life trying to do that.
Well, so, okay, I'll give you
I'm
that.
I'm trying to be picky with you, if that's okay.
Your critical eye would maybe see a difference. The advantage we had with those reproductions, just as a side comment, is that we were essentially using the same materials that the original
of course,
were done,
of course,
gelatin,
yeah.
silver
yeah.
materials, etc., which is a whole different thing than taking a daguerreotype and reproducing it in print.
No, of course, I understand that completely, yeah, sure.
That's a whole different deal.
Yeah, I understand that completely. That makes complete sense.
Well, you brought up the point here a second ago about your work as a photographer, and obviously both as a photographer and as someone who has studied the printed picture so extensively, the obvious question is, how do you think that study of the printed picture has influenced your work as a photographer?
Well, it has everything to do with it. When I started photographing, I photographed as a little kid, but when I started seriously doing it, the first prints I made were platinum prints. And I got an old book and read the formulas and figured out how to buy the chemicals and make the coating, and I made platinum prints, and I thought they looked great, you know. And then I read and researched, and I worked as a printer with an offset press, and I figured out how to do pictures on an offset press. And then I studied gravure, and I made photogravure. So my work as a photographer has been completely intertwined with what I do as a printer. So to me, it's all of a piece. But I want to say something interesting about the stuff in the book. The history that I've described in the book is only one that I have marginally engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
And for quite a period of time in there, I made my own pictures in acrylic paint with a completely different process that I cooked up that I never mentioned in the book. And now I do everything digitally with a modified inkjet printer that I made that will do multiple impressions. And I didn't mention that in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of these processes are not in the mainstream of printing. They're eccentric solutions that I've come up with. So I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to make the best print I can make. And most of the time, that's involved developing a technology that doesn't already exist. And that isn't present in the book. I've left that out.
Well, that's interesting. You know, with the advent of digital, so many photographers are returning to the so-called alternative processes, maybe as a reaction to the over-mechanical digital workflow, I'm not sure. But we're seeing more and more of that, gum bichromate printing,
yes,
palladium printing, etc.
Can I be blunt?
Yes.
I'm cutting you off even before you
That's
can ask
okay.
the question. I'm going to be blunt. The digital revolution makes all that old stuff just garbage. You can make an inkjet print that beats any platinum hands down. You can do color prints on matte surfaced rag paper with a color response that's better than anything we've ever had. And when I see people going back and doing old processes, I think they're just running away from the beautiful, exciting future. And I just don't understand it. Now, I'm now printing old negatives, 8x10 black and white negatives that I've scanned, and I print in two or three impressions on an Epson printer, And they're better than anything I ever could have imagined making 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm photographing with a Canon 22 megapixel camera, and the record of the world is unbelievable compared to film. It's so much better. And I'm making prints on Hanamuel rag paper in 3 or 4 passes through the printer. And they're like a dream to me. I've never been able to make anything like it in my life. So people go back to the old processes. It's fine. But they shouldn't kid themselves that they're doing it because they look better, because they don't. Now, they might be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing in the world is as fun as brushing glop on a paper and having a picture come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is as much fun as wiping a gravure plate and running it through an etching press. That's a ball. That's really fun to do. And I have no problem with artists loving their process. I think it's wonderful to love the process. But let's not kid ourselves about the way the things look. It's true that right now, I don't think the digital printing systems have a paper that is as beautiful as the old F-surfaced Kodak Azo or gelatin silver sheets that Kodak used to make. I don't think we have a surface that beautiful that's available for the inkjet printer. But I think we will in a matter of time. Mm-hmm. But as far as the matte surface is concerned, what we have with an inkjet printer is infinitely better than anything we had in the past. So I'm very clear about this in what I believe.
Well, yes. Let me tell you about a little experiment we did here. We had one image that we offered. It was one that actually Maureen did that we offered as Lenswork Special Edition. So we happened to have it in 4 versions. We had her original gelatin silver print. We had a 425 line screen printed on gelatin silver material. We had a hand-pulled photogravure done from polymer plates by a fellow that we worked with for a while who did beautiful photogravures for us. And then we had an inkjet print printed on Hanamuel photo rag, same paper you're using. We lined them all up on the wall, and we asked a bunch of people to come over and say, without describing any of the processes at all, which of these to you is the best looking print? With no other criteria than that, just best looking. And 98% of them chose the inkjet print on Hanamuel.
Doesn't surprise me.
Even over the photogravure, which sort of surprised us.
Very few photogravures look as good as a good inkjet print. The photogravures have that beautiful plate mark.
Mm-hmm.
They have that beautiful feeling of the ink sitting on the surface, but totally they're rough. They're just nowhere near as good. The best photogravure is nowhere near as good. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Well,
I think the inkjet print is a wonder.
It is.
I think it's an absolute wonder.
Yeah, it's an amazing
thing. I just
can't
wait until the digital C prints disappear because I think they're really stupid.
Yeah.
You know, made on this huge, hugely expensive device with conventional chemical color photographic paper, and usually without a very good tonal scale or color scale. I think it'll be nice when those finally disappear entirely.
Yeah.
But boy, a good inkjet print is a killer. But I do think we need better surfaces on the semi-gloss and gloss papers. I do think we're lacking there.
But it's a technology that's only, what, 5 or 10 years old?
Yeah, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I love it. I spend every day printing on an inkjet printer, every day.
Yeah. The platinum people do have an argument, which doesn't hold much water with me, quite honestly, about longevity and the salts. But let me quote you from your book. You said, talking about longevity, does the picture really exist locked away in a dark box? I think not.
That's right.
Better to look at it, enjoy it, and let it wear out like everything else in the world. Close quote. I love that.
Well, I believe that. I completely believe that. I mean, that's what I think is the case. And what can I say, you know? And also, I mean, here Alfred Stieglitz made these beautiful platinums. Beautiful. He didn't clear them enough, and they all turned yellow. Because if you clear them enough, it weakens the black.
Mm-hmm.
So Edward Steichen had to go and re-clear them all in the 50s. So we have to be careful about what lasts and what doesn't last, you know. Now, I print on Hanamuel because I love the surface, but I also feel it's the stablest paper I can find. And I've put some of my pictures up in the window facing the south for a year, and they're incredibly stable. I think if you keep them away from bad chemistry in the air, in other words, don't put them in New York City or L.A. or Mexico City, I think you can make color inkjet prints that last a really long time, and I think you can have them out in the light, too.
Well, that's why we make prints, is for them to be seen, isn't it?
That's right. That is exactly right.
I cringe that every time I go into a museum and I see those displays where they put the cloth over the print and you have to lift the cloth up to see it. Now, I understand why they do it, but I figure it's only a matter of time before someone does that in their living room.
I've seen people's living rooms where they have a cloth over the TV so they don't have to look at it all the time
that's
and admit
different.
That they own one.
Well, speaking of color, let me quote you again from your book, because
sure.
I thought this was a fascinating statement, too. Speaking about color.
I know you're just trying to get me in trouble. That's all right.
I hate it when people quote me from my books.
I don't mind.
You said, the problems of color are all wrapped up in the human eye and mind. Our eyes record data in three parts of the spectrum, and the mind generates the illusion of full color out in the world. The press attempts to do the same, piling illusion on illusion. I love that phrase, illusion on illusion.
I believe that's true.
Well, the whole printing process, even if you look at the monochrome image, it's creating an illusion of tone with monochrome ink dots.
Sure. If there is a theme running through the book and the show at the museum too, the theme is that printers have only been able to print pictures by breaking them up into little pieces. Mm-hmm. And the puzzle the printers have had to solve is, how do we break the image up and print it with an ink that's only black? Or if it's color, print it with only three inks of three colors. And how do we get these little pieces to look as though they're tonal and they describe a picture? And that puzzle has been astonishing. And it was all linear through the age of the hand processes. And then when photography came along, the particles were way down on a fine, fine chemical scale, and they appeared to disappear. And the printing processes had to figure out a whole new system of little marks.
Mm-hmm.
And each process figured out a different system to make this illusion of tone. And now with the computer, we're doing exactly the same thing. We're spitting out little bits of things that the eye blends together. So the whole thing is illusion. That's absolutely right. I'm not a neurobiologist, and I might be stepping out of line to say that the eye sees color in three parts of the spectrum. I think it's basically true. And I think we do reconstitute colors in our mind due to the percentages of the primaries that we're viewing. That's one illusion. And the way we print with the three subtractive primaries or display with the three additive primaries is another illusion.
Right.
So I think it's true. I think it's one on top of the other.
Well, I love the end of that quote of yours, too, which was, it's a wonder that it works at all.
Well, I feel that is true about printing in general.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonder that printing works. It's very, very hard to make a copy of anything. When you print a reproduction of a photograph in ink on paper, you're trying to make a copy of it, and it's really hard to do. And it's always been miraculous to me that it works.
Yeah, well, as the publisher of Lenswork, I can assure you it's...
Yeah, you're familiar with the challenges.
It is a challenge indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, one other point you made in the book that I thought was well worth emphasizing is, over and over again, you brought up this idea that to compare one process to another process is sort of silly.
You know, I was going to say that when you said you had four versions of one picture.
Well, it is true. You say, for example, that I can't remember now exactly.
Well,
how
I
you
say
said
if
this,
you I
you
say that if you have a matte surface print and a gloss surface
yes.
print, you compare the two, the gloss always wins.
Yes, yes.
Because what happens is you tend to evaluate the pictures in terms of their common denominators. So I make a point of never printing pictures in two different ways. If I have a picture, I decide I'm going to print it, and that's it. I print it that way. And I don't ever dance around back and forth. Now, I'm doing something interesting now because I'm printing early negatives that I haven't printed for 20 years with an inkjet printer, and I happen to have some of the platinums of the same pictures. Mm-hmm. And it's shocking to see that they're completely different. But I think comparison is a deadly thing. And what it does is it gives us a simple, moronic answer to a complicated question. And that's why I don't approve of it. I think this thing about what's better is really complicated.
Yeah.
And I think it's more about, where does this thing look right? What do I do to make this thing look right? And that look right is the complicated thing. And comparison doesn't help me figure that out at all.
In the bottom line, it's a thing of the heart and the soul, isn't it?
Sure. I don't know if I admit heart and soul to the conversation, but I'll admit, the mind.
Okay.
You know, when I'm talking to my students, a student will say, boy, that's a beautiful print. It's so rich. And I'll say, now, what do we mean by rich? You know?
Yeah.
Yes, it's in fact, it's about the human response, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I feel is not served by comparison, by judgment, by comparison.
Yeah, I just spent the week last week as a reviewer at one of the big events, and all these people brought all their work for all of us to see and to look at and whatnot. And, you know, there was every conceivable medium that you can imagine and every conceivable process. And the bottom line is, either connect with it or you don't. And with 60-some-odd reviewers, the consistent response from the people having their work looked at was, you know, there's nothing we can determine by listening to these reviews because we get 60 different responses.
Yeah. It's about people.
I do want to ask you also about the book, because the book itself is such a fabulous resource. I am telling everybody I know, this is something that has to belong in every photographer's library, not only for the beautiful reproductions, but for the background it provides us. How did this book come about?
That was my goal for the book. Now, you should realize the book was Peter Galassi's idea. I've occasionally come down and given lectures to their photo group at MoMA.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter has said for the last 10 years, he said, you know, you really should write a book about this. You should really write a book about this. And then finally, he's the one who said to me, now do the book. We'll support it. We'll publish it. So we should have no illusions. It's Peter's idea to do this book. And the book was a real challenge because I wanted the book not to be full of fancy greatest hits. I wanted it to be full of a lot of workaday pictures. And I'd been lecturing for years with original prints pushpinned to the wall. As you know, as you can immediately see, the book has got a few things that are valuable in it, but most of the things are just junk that I've gathered over the years. There was a terrific challenge about how to produce the book.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in an ideal world, we might imagine that the gravure was a gravure and that the platinum was a platinum. We made this exquisite limited edition book. But we made a decision to do the whole thing in process color, not even with gray inks for duotones. But the whole thing is process. And we printed it at a wonderful printer in West Haven, Connecticut called GHP, a terrific printing house. And I did all the separations up here in my little shop in Newport from scans that I made on a desktop scanner, a little cheap $300 desktop scanner. And the book is printed in cyan, magenta, yellow, black, and a varnish. And it looks great, but don't think it looks like the originals.
Yeah, no.
Because I didn't care what the originals looked like. I wanted to make the book look good.
Well, that's what the exhibition is for.
Yes, that's right. The exhibition is the originals. You know, there's a lot of places in the book where I feel it's a little red, you know, or a little yellow when it goes up and down. But page after page, form after form, we tried to get the ink at the level so the sheet really looked nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not a book of reproductions. It's a book of visual explanations of pictures. If you walk through the exhibition with the book, you'd be shocked at how different it is.
Well, that's true, but this is a resource book.
I think it's got a lot of information in it.
Yeah.
We didn't put any graphs and diagrams in it.
Right.
So it's not a how-to book.
And there's also no formulas.
There's no formulas in it. So really, it doesn't help anybody to sit down and make a platinum printer, make a gravure. I think it gives a really good overview to each process and positions it in the historical stream of printing. And I think it does that very well. And I think it says a lot of vital stuff about how processes work physically. That's hard to figure out. If you start with a formula and a book of diagrams and formulas and you do a process, it takes a long time to figure out what the process is about. And I've tried to say that in this book. I'm glad you like it. You know, they've actually reprinted the book already.
Have they? It's fabulous.
Yeah, we printed 5,500 copies and they went and did another 3,500. The show's down in another 2 months, and so it'll all be over then, you know, but...
Well, but definitely people should try to get to the show if they possibly can between now and then. And if they can't, you've also contributed a wonderful experience via the web. MoMA has an audio-video presentation, which I'm assuming is the audio that you provided as a walkthrough at the actual exhibition, you know, with those little
Yes, it is.
Things.
You know, I've never looked at it.
Oh, it's great.
But I believe it is. I did that thing in a studio. I wrote it and came down and did it.
Oh, sort of like a self-guided tour.
Yeah, the self. I did that for them and thought it out pretty carefully. I tried to do it off the cuff and it didn't work. I'm doing something very funny next week. On Tuesday, when the museum is closed, I'm going down with a few friends and two people with video cameras, and I'm going to give the full lecture, which is about 6 hours.
Wow.
Because when I've lectured about this stuff, I've always made it short. I've always made it an hour and a half to keep people from falling asleep. But we're going to video me talking about the whole thing, which should be kind of interesting.
Oh, that'll be fabulous. Well, not everybody can get to New York, and this is a way for them to see it. So.
Yeah, and I've got a buddy who wants to video it, Alan Chazanoff, a wonderful fellow who's interested in it. So we're going to work on that next week. Try to do it before the show comes down.
Well, it's just a terrific book. It's a fabulous contribution. Photographers are indebted to you for all you've done, and this book is certainly an addition to all of your contributions. And thanks for your time here to share your thoughts with the Lenswork readers.
Well, it's my pleasure, and what could make me happier than to hear you say nice things about something I've done? So I'm pleased.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Copyright 2009, Lenswork Publishing.